From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today, Dr. Alan Cairns brings another portion of a message entitled, The Features of the Model Prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, the Lord Jesus gave His disciples a marvelous pattern for prayer in what is known as the Lord's Prayer. Although the words are relatively few, this prayer provides the essential guidelines for all true prayer. Implicit in the wording of the prayer are certain assumptions with which we come before our Heavenly Father. Then, as we'll see today, there are definite attitudes which we must manifest before God's throne, such as those of sons, of subjects, of servants, as well as of saints. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to address a subject which is on nearly everyone's lips these days, but which few know how to obtain, the subject of peace.
Wars have been fought for it. World political leaders endlessly discuss it. Individuals yearn for it. What is it? It is peace. A most elusive prize indeed. Now, the Bible says, Acquaint now thyself with God and be at peace. It also says that the Lord Jesus Christ made peace through the blood of His cross. There's a great problem in the world's conception of peace. Among nations, peace is often equated with a cessation of hostilities. Again, peace among people is usually looked on a very horizontal plane, dealing merely with either relationships with other people or with an equilibrium of mind, a serenity of mind that we ourselves may enjoy. Now, I do not for one moment undervalue these aspects of peace, but very few people ever really bother to think upon the simple truth that the basic aspect of peace must be peace with God. The greatest enmity that a man can have is enmity toward God. The greatest chasm that can divide him from anyone is the chasm that divides him from God. The Bible says your sins have separated between you and your God. Now that is a chasm indeed. Paul said that we are alienated from God by wicked works. Alienated, at enmity with God, at hostility with God. We need peace with God. How do we obtain peace with God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to reconcile us, that is, to make peace between us and our God. We have peace with God, says the Apostle Paul, through our Lord Jesus Christ, having been justified by faith. We have peace with God. That's where peace starts. Now, I would advise you today to make sure that in your longing for peace, you don't simply long for a peaceful world and a peaceful family and a serenity of your own soul, but make sure that you have peace with God, that you are not living in enmity toward God. Now, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, who made peace for us with God through the blood of His cross, when you have Him as your Savior, then you can receive from Him the gift that the Bible calls the peace of God. When you have peace with God, you can receive the gift of the peace of God. He will give you that gift of peace. The Bible says, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said that we should be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep. And the word keep means shall stand guard over, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Here's the key to peace of heart and peace of mind, peace in the home, peace in your relationships. It starts with peace with God, having received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and then through Him enjoying the sweet peace and serenity of soul. He promised it. He said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Christian, be encouraged today. The peacemaker is the peace giver. He promises peace in a troubled world.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If this series on prayer is helpful to you, you may be interested in obtaining Dr. Cairns' book, The Lord's Prayer, which contains the text of the entire series. You may purchase a copy in a number of ways. You may find the book on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Simply go to the website and click on Web Store. If you prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. However you choose to obtain a copy, you're sure to receive a great blessing as you apply these truths about prayer in your own life.
This model prayer teaches us these things about all prayer. Now, consider first the outstanding feature of this prayer and of all true praying is the access we enjoy in prayer. But the second feature of the Lord's Prayer, that's a pattern for all prayer, centers upon what I will call the assumptions we entertain in prayer. Lord's Prayer in its features teaches us a third thing about all true praying. Speaks to us about the attitude that we should exhibit in prayer. Now I will have time simply to list five attitudes that we should exhibit in prayer. They're all here very clearly in the Lord's Prayer. First, we come with the attitude of a son, our Father. Second, we come with the attitude of a subject, Thy kingdom come. Third, we come with the attitude of a servant, Thy will be done. Fourth, we come with the attitude of a suppliant. Empty-handed, we're praying, Lord, give us. Fifth, we come with the attitude of a saint. For we are praying, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Great emphasis on personal holiness. These are the attitudes that must govern us in our praying. These are the mindsets that must govern the expressions that we bring to God. In other words, let me repeat, it's not just the words, it's what's under the words. It's what lies behind the words. You may say the most wonderful words to God in prayer, but if they mean nothing, so what? What's the use of saying them? None of us likes a liar. None of us likes a hypocrite. Even in daily intercourse, we don't like dealing with people when we know that they're only speaking from the teeth out. We've all met people like that, haven't we? I had an aunt who was... I have an aunt who was the greatest exponent of this. Half sometimes be done for a joke, sometimes not for a joke. My, she could smile and say the most wonderful things. As soon as she got her back the back turned, it was the very opposite. Now, nobody likes that. But why do we practice it when we come to the Lord? We must come as the sons of God, as the subjects of His kingdom, of His royal sector, of the servants who are dedicated to the will of God, of the suppliants who are coming empty-handed and pleading for His fullness, and of the saints who are seriously interested in personal holiness. Those are the attitudes without which we cannot pray. And of course, the fourth thing the Lord's Prayer teaches us about is the ambitions that we evince in prayer. Now, this is a big subject, and again, I'm only going to have time to run through the list. But as I look at the Lord's prayers, I sat before the Lord and pondered this. What are the ambitions that Jesus is saying must rise within our hearts if we're going to pray? First, there is the ambition to rise above the world and its circumstances. Our Father. Now, among the people here referred to is every Christian. Some have physical needs, emotional needs, family needs, financial needs. Some are facing great problems, great worries, great concerns of one kind or another. These are the circumstances of the world. And surely what the Savior's telling us is that if we're going to pray, let those circumstances drive us to God, not to despair. Let them drive us to God, not to sin. Let them drive us to prayer, not to carelessness. So often we feel, I'm the only one suffering this way. If those people only knew what I was going through, and all these feelings just tend to isolate us from the rest of the body of Christ, and ultimately the devil's purpose in it is to isolate us from the Lord Himself. My friend, let's understand again the sovereignty of our God and the interest of our God in the affairs of the individual Christian. Let those things be in mind, and then let us see these circumstances as means of rising out of the world and above the world to meet with our God. That's the ambition we must have. Or to put it another way, to enter into the fullness of family fellowship with God. Notice again how Jesus starts the prayer. Our Father. Why does He do that? Well, for many reasons. But obviously one of them is to emphasize the family fellowship we have with God in prayer. You see, it is true to say that prayer is asking. The late John R. Rice, in his very instructive book on prayer, for the most part, very instructive and very helpful, makes a big point that all prayer is asking. He excludes worship, thanksgiving, and confession from prayer. Oh, he doesn't say you shouldn't do those things. He says, but they are not prayer. Prayer is asking. Well, I don't believe that. If that were so, I would have to go to some of the Psalms that are called by the Holy Ghost a prayer of David and cut half of them out and say that's not praying at all. I do confess and believe that much of prayer is asking. But can I say, before there's ever effective asking, there's something much deeper. And I fear that we feel on this level that prayer's not just rushing into the presence of God with a wish list and walking out licking your chops that you've got what you wanted. Prayer is much more than that. Prayer is wanting to meet with God. Quite distinct from getting from Him, it is to meet with God. Can I say, if you meet with God, He'll satisfy the longing of your heart. When we were home, Joan spoke with one of our friends who has suffered for many, many, many years, unspeakable agony. When she counted up the number of pain pills that she had to take every year, it ran to many thousands. Came a day when she felt she couldn't go any further. Surgery had done all it could, but the pains were as bad as ever. And after all these years, she could go no further. She went into her husband's study and she knelt at the chair where she knew he had knelt hundreds of times and wept her cause before God. Her testimony was, as she knelt there, to tell the Lord she couldn't go on. She said, "The Lord met with me." Some days later, she found she was living without pain pills that it hadn't even dawned on her. But before that, the thing that gripped her soul was, she said, "I didn't feel that God put a hand of healing or some strange charismatic feeling. I didn't feel that. But I knew that I had met with God." Men and women, let me tell you, that's the ambition we must have. Not just to get this and that from God, but to fellowship with God as children with their Father. To enjoy days of heaven upon the earth. Do you get those first three petitions? I believe that that little phrase, "on earth as it is in heaven," will govern the first three petitions entirely. What the Savior's telling us to pray is that while we're on this earth, with all its imperfection, with all its sin, with all its challenges, with all its needs, with all its failures, with all the pain and the suffering and the tears and the agony, yet with fellowship with God, we may know days of heaven upon the earth. What an ambition. Heaven and earth, living in the heavenlies, even while we're living on earth. We're positioned there, but oh, that we may actually enjoy it. You remember the story of the great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor? At about 37 years of age, already a renowned missionary. Successful, as many people would say. Yet he found himself very deeply disturbed because, under pressure, he knew he was not the man he ought to be. He'd be bad-tempered, snappy, short, you name it. And then weep over it. But always this up and down and up and down. Until he learned what it was. Yes, to battle the flesh, but to do so from the position of recognizing he's in Christ. He's in Christ. What it means to be in Christ. And by faith to be drawing day by day upon all the resources that are in Christ. What happened? He began to live heaven on earth.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.